Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and you're invited to join me each week as we have some amazing experts, entrepreneurs, and industry leaders share their stories, all to help you win the battle for business each and every day. And of course, we do it right here on the Profit Express. So thank you for being on board. Now, while you're on Facebook, you can follow me and the show at the Profit Express page. Give us a like, a thumbs up. Let us know what you thought about the show. And, of course, you can also follow me on Twitter at Radio Tim Healy. That's at Radio Tim Healy. So thanks for listening. Now, when you've read as many business books as I have, many of the stories and lessons seem to all blend into one non-distinguishable message. Not too inspiring. Now, to the entrepreneurs listening, and that's you, get ready, because today we're having an author, and this author is not a typical business book author. No, no, no. She is truly audacious, rebellious, and obsessed, and her new book is called Rare Breed, and it offers a different look as to what it means to create success as an entrepreneur. And Publishers Weekly has praised the book as a brash and determined ode to the non-conforming entrepreneur. Sunny Bunnell, who's one of the authors, and she's along with the co-author Ashley Hansberger, but we'll have on the radio today Sunny Bunnell, who's one of the authors and also the owners of an award-winning branding and digital agency called Motto. Now, the message in the book is that they have taken seven seemingly dangerous vices and they've turned them into virtues and assets. These vices: rebellious, audacious, obsessed, hot-blooded, weird, hypnotic, and emotional. So if you are an entrepreneur, you have no doubt heard the warnings from family and friends that, hey, you've got to play it safe. You've got to play by the rules. You have to be careful not to be rebellious, audacious, and obsessed. But the problem with playing it safe, you have to ask yourself, where would we be as a society? Where would the world of science and technology and art be without rebellion, audacity, and a healthy dose of obsession? So my interview today with Sunny Bunnell may well serve as a get-out-of-jail-free card for you. It could be your chance to finally give yourself and your ideas the permission to be bold and daring. Now, I can't wait. I'm super excited, and I know you can't wait either. So it is a real pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Sunny Bunnell, author of Rare Breed. Sunny, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No, my pleasure. And listen, obviously, as the host of the show, I have had the benefit of reading a lot of business books, but as I probably was into, truth told, maybe the fifth page of your book, I'm like, this isn't just an ordinary business book where you get a lot of the same homogenous kinds of mm-hmm. messages. So congrats to you guys. You've written a great book here, and certainly thanks for being on board.
Thank you so much. We've been hearing a good bit of that feedback, and I think it's a real testament to the type of unorthodox business book that it is and why it's resonating with people, not just at the leadership and company level, but also just on a personal level, you know, employees, you know, people in their careers trying to figure out what path they're on, whether it's the path that they should be on, whether they should be using and utilizing some of the things that they've told, that they've been told not to do or not to be. Mm-hmm. And we're giving them a look at how to reframe the things that society is telling us we should suppress and actually make them into our superpower.
Superpower, I love it. So then, essentially, let's get back, you know, before the book, let's get back to the start mm-hmm. of the agency Motto. The start was rebellious. The start was audacious. You guys were shy of degrees. You had 250 in cash and basically no experience. Why did you decide at that moment to start the agency the way you did, when conventional wisdom would say you're absolutely not ready to do this?
Yeah, I think that we, so just to put this into context, as we were both going to school, I have been a musician my whole life, and so I was freelancing, mm-hmm. Self-taught some my design services. I was, nobody else in the band, you know, or in the community of the musicians that I was in, knew how to do any of that. So I literally taught myself how to design. And so I started off designing band posters and album covers and things of that nature for not only my band, but for everyone around me, and sort of fell into it backwards. I mean, essentially I was going to school to be a veterinarian, going to college to be a veterinarian. Ashley was on track to be a journalist. And on the side, I was moonlighting as a graphic designer.
Right.
Completely self-taught. And probably as I was going through that process, of course, I would look outside of the industry, not just in music, but I would look at advertising. I would look at, you know, different designers that I personally looked up to. And in my community, in our community, we saw that everyone was doing things very homogenized. It looked like everything else. Everything felt very templated. Mm. And so when we made that kind of bold and brash decision to drop out of college together and start an agency, it mm-hmm. was really about sort of saying, if we're going to start a company, what kind of company would we want to create? What kind of agency would we want to create? And that's exactly what we did. We just sort of tore up the rule book and said, we want to do the exact opposite of what else we're seeing around us. How can we bring a different point of view to what seems to be a sort of very vanilla type industry, at least in our general vicinity? That's kind of what we felt we saw around us, and we felt that we could do something different. Now, whether or not we could or could not was to be seen, right?
Right.
A matter of, we thought we could do it better, so we dropped out of college and you know, with $250 in our bank account and started it at a very, very grassroots level.
Well, grassroots, absolutely. It doesn't get more grassroots than $250 in the bank. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, talk about audacity. You know, you see these kind of same look, same feel agencies. You guys just feel you can do better. And based on that, you know, you take the plunge. And which is, again, what you said, we're so conditioned not to be safe, to have the parachutes, to have the plans. And again, today's guest is the author of Rare Breed, Sunny Bunnell, and she's also one of the co-founders of the Motto Agency, their digital marketing agency. And now, in the beginning, I mean, just kind of following your story that you and Ashley tell in the book, you know, I felt like I knew you guys almost. It's just, it was just an amazing story. You were sabotaged at meetings. You were fired. You were called absurd. You were written off. And then, you know, when life had basically given the two of you a massive kind of kick in the gut, it was your dad who said, hey, listen, the two of you are a rare breed. And you have to, you know, accept the fact that not everybody's going to like you. Some may hate you. And this is what I thought was very interesting. But then your dad goes on to say, but the ones who get you will never forget you. So now what I like, I mean, that to me was powerful. And obviously it came at the right time for you and Ashley. So what is the rare breed?
So a rare breed is simply unordinary among the kind. So while everyone else around a rare breed suppresses their innate vices, right? Mm-hmm. Rare breeds really lean into them. They let them off the leash. They're willing to vandalize tradition. They're willing to take the black eyes. They're willing to lean into all of who they are, not just the pretty parts. And rare breed is very painful because most people are not willing to make the parts of themselves that either they themselves have made invisible, or society, or our parents, or our friends, or our mentors mm-hmm. have made parts of ourselves quiet. And so what we really discovered is that in the 15 years of now both growing our own agency out of nothing around a tremendous sea of doubt, I'm saying everyone told us we would fail, except for maybe our mom and dad, who was kind of like, I don't know, guys, like, I don't know what you guys think you're doing here. And I think they just sort of amused us, like, and sort of figured out, well, you know, if you can't beat them, join them, because I think they were just like, they're not going to quit. They're not going to give up. But even they were like, guys, like, you're too rough around the edges. You're too outspoken. You know, you have no track record. Like, how do you think you can go into these companies and basically tell them what to do? And I think what that also allowed us to do was to figure out what those weaknesses, what everybody else thought were weaknesses, were actually our strengths. There were the things that were actually making us different. And everyone else around us was telling us that we should sort of fall back in line and quit bucking the status quo and not be so, you know, prickly on the points. And what we found out at, you know, as we built our company and we got traction and people started, you know, we got one client to the next client to the next client, was the same reason that we were being hired was the same reason we were being fired. And so we were like, how is this happening? You know, why is this happening? And it was mostly right. because I think we were just a little too ahead of the game in that, especially in early 2004, 2005, when, right. I mean, keep in mind, it seems like eons ago, but Yellow Page ads were still a thing. Like direct mail was still like just on the cusp of people doing things. And so we come out with a garbage can, this die cut garbage can that when you pull the lid, all we said on the back of it was "Trash the Ordinary" with our phone number and our web address. And it was the thing that got us that first client. And
that was your Hail Mary, wasn't it?
That was the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
But what was interesting was as we worked then with finding a knack for doing this kind of work of going into companies and not just saying, what kind of brand do you want to build, but what kind of leader are you? What kind of culture are you trying to create? Like, all of these things are connected, mm-hmm. and your success or failure depends on whether or not you are a rare breed. And so it sort of made this like clicking where all of these things that we were doing innately became the gift and then became the calling and then became our actual business. And then it became a book. So keep in mind, it's like 15 years of taking the punches before we ever wrote anything down, really, you know, or really were able to come out and say, these are the things that we've observed, not only in our own life and in our own business that we built, but also in all of the hundreds of companies that we've worked with and all the leaders that we've worked with. We've seen these traits, and then it then sort of trickled down into these aren't just like for businesses or leaders. This is actually for people and for people who are in a life or career or job, whatever their dream is. So many of us are walking around right now with no idea of how to zoom out and say, am I really on the path I want to be on? Is this even the path I wanted to be on?
Right.
Because keep in mind, in the book we talk about this, I mean, Rare Breed is really about a book about identity, which is, you know, the very first mirror that we probably ever look into is the eyes of our parents or someone who is an early parental figure, and or on the flip side of that, you may not have had a parental figure, and their own ideas or ideologies of who you should be start happening before you can even talk.
Right.
They have their own hopes and dreams and aspirations of who you should be long before you ever start walking and talking. And those may be things that are making up for failures that they may have not been able to achieve in their own life. So by the time we're in middle school, you know, which also tells us to keep our head down and not fall out of line. And, you know, if you are an outlier, you're weird, you're different, you're going to get devoured. I mean, this is like primal, you know, then you're into middle school and high school. And by that time, you just may be climbing the dream of someone else altogether. And we may never zoom out far enough to say, is this really the path that I want to be on? Is this really the true identity of who I am? And Rare Breed was kind of a call to arms to say, you're not weird, or, well, if you are weird, it's okay.
Right.
You know, there's like a positive and negative to this. And we wanted to talk about what the duality of being all of these seven vices are and how you turn them into a virtue to become the sort of secret to your success.
Now, as I'm hearing the story, and you said, hey, Tim, you know, it's been a 15-year journey, you know, from opening the business and figuring this out to getting to the book. Not only as an entrepreneur are you and Ashley going through the typical challenges of any, you know, startup, okay, and the long nights and, you know, many, many, many long nights and the sacrifice and learning the business, but then you're also really figuring out, you know, your voice in all of this. And you're going against such a tidal wave of conformity and naysayers. I mean, wow. And I could just picture, you know, the entrepreneurs listening, the business owners listening, just the individuals listening. Like you said, we get programmed from such an early age. And then to think, you know, am I really on the right path? And that's what makes
it. We are the sum of anyone that's ever touched us.
Right.
Ever given us a piece of advice, ever steered us in any direction. We are the sum of that. And many of us are either silenced or awakened at many points during our lives. But many of us stay silent for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Before we ever think to sort of say, is this, like, right for me? Am I in a job I love? Is this a environment that supports me?
Like, right.
Am I really showing up as all of who I can be? Am I really tapping into that potential? And for many of us, the answer is no.
Unfortunately.
At least to the people that we've talked to that have read the book and that people that have, you know, we've certainly been giving a lot of talks and been communicating with people. And the amount of people that are resonating in this and saying, you know, until I read this book, like, I felt like I was like in a slumber. And I feel like you cracked me open in a way that it's making me reevaluate so many things. And I'm finding that I'm in a job I don't love and I don't feel appreciated. And I, you know, and they're taking strides to say, how can I tap into that full spectrum of who I am? And how do I not be embarrassed that I'm a little bit strange or weird? And, you know, I'm not saying strange or weird in the negative way.
No, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of
strange
and weird out there that's actually not great. But like,
there's good, strange and weird, and then there's bad. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like, right, which is what the duality is. Which
right.
Is why the book talks in great detail about the power of a vice and a virtue. They can be as uplifting as they are undoing.
Sure.
And so
of course.
We go into great detail about what it means to have, you know, be obsessed and why that can make you completely do your greatest work in the world, and yet it can also paralyze you and keep you spinning your wheels. And, you know, many of our greatest thinkers and ideators and people who are fascinating geniuses in this world suffer from deep obsession in a way that actually is not
right.
The positive of that. So we talk a lot about that and what that really means to have both sides of that coin.
And today's guest is Sunny Bunnell. She's one of the authors of the brand new book, Rare Breed, along with Ashley Hansberger. Rare Breed, A Guide to Success for the Defiant, the Dangerous, and the Different. Different and weird, you know, all in a great way. One of the stories in the book that I really admired, you know, because sometimes in business, we're guilty of going for the cash grab, especially when you're a startup, especially when you're new. And there was this, and I'm going off my memory on this one, so bear with me, Sonny. You and Ashley were in a meeting with, whether it's an owner, a CEO, and his marketing director. And you're in the typical boardroom setting. And shortly into the meeting, the CEO is kind of power tripping and really, really mistreating and talking down to the marketing manager. And I think it was Ashley, correct me if I'm wrong, once you guys realized what this person was all about, and what I'm reading in the book was, you know, you didn't want this person to be a client of yours anyhow. So he said, hey, you know, this isn't right. This isn't cool. We're out of here. And then the next day, the marketing manager sent an email thanking you because that person had an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting that right?
Yeah, she said your courage showed me my own. Yeah.
Right, right,
you
right.
Know, the chapter that you're talking about is Violate Etiquette,
yeah.
Which is, and I think it's really relevant right now, that we are in a society where there is an abuse of power. And many of the CEOs that I've personally sat across the table from borderline on complete hubris. And ego is something you have to have as a CEO, a leader.
Sure.
Some of the greatest leaders I've ever been around, their egos are they're insane, right? You know, Elon Musk wants to put people on Mars. Like, you know, there is a level of crazy that kind of goes with that an audacity that comes with being that kind of visionary.
Absolutely.
But there is this sort of line where many of these types of CEOs, they just have this sort of ability to abuse the power. And I think we've all been in situations where we walked out of a room, mm-hmm. or we hung up the phone, or we left a meeting, or whatever the situation was, and we were like, I cannot believe that I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Or
yep,
something yep. felt uncomfortable or tense, or somebody was bullying, or somebody was belittling, or and you don't say anything. And you're like, why didn't I say anything?
Right.
And I really believe that we've gotten ourselves into this sort of mindset that we don't feel like we can, because we'll lose our job. Like, we're not in safe environments that allow us to even say anything. Like, we don't know how to do the job, or we're struggling, or we're, mm-hmm. we're feeling fatigue, or we will completely burn ourselves down to the grit because we are afraid that we will be punished if we say these things. And that was a moment where it was just unacceptable what he was doing. I mean, right. he was just speaking to her in such a way that if you had any ounce of integrity at all, you would not have been able to look the other way. And she just leaned forward and she said, I'm afraid we're going to have to cut this short. The bulldozing of your colleague is very unsettling.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could have brushed it off. We could have looked the other way.
Uh-huh. Sure.
We could have looked the way like we've all done.
Yep.
But we just couldn't do it. And so she ends up putting in her resignation. And the note that she sent was, you know, your courage showed me my own. So here was somebody that had been dealing with this, who had been battling this with the CEO.
Oh, yeah, for years, probably.
Incredibly yeah. successful. I mean, this is somebody that we all know the name of, and you would be shocked to know who it is.
Oh.
And it's just, and it's tough because you're just like, I don't think that's okay. And so I'm finding that more and more people are finding their courage and finding their strength to say that this is not going to lie.
I have to ask. So when I read that story in the book, and you know, there's a ton of great stories in the book, believe it or not, for me at least, and again, everybody reads the book differently for themselves and through their own eyes and their own filters. I read that story. I'm like, wow, you know, courage, chutzpah, all of that. I know you're not going to mention the CEO. You said it's a CEO. It's a CEO everybody would recognize. So is it safe in me saying that it would have been an account you guys would have loved to have had in the right circumstances?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? It was like a $300,000 job.
Seriously?
That's a lot of money.
Of course it's a lot of
yeah.
money. Really?
That is a considerable amount of money.
Okay. Well,
and we turned it away. Because I was not going to put not only myself in a room with this individual, but I wasn't going to put my team in that
yeah, yeah.
room. And I'm finding that many of us, like, that may sound very privileged. I understand that. Like, some people just would be like, look, just take the money and do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've learned over the years that sometimes there is not enough money in this world to make us compromise in such a way that we feel so horrible about
yeah.
ourselves and so horrible about, and not only just you, like, it's one thing if you're making that decision on behalf of yourself, but if you're also making that decision on behalf of your team in mm-hmm, such a way mm-hmm. that you're putting everybody in that line of fire in a way that you're subjecting everyone around you to this person's wrongdoings, that I find to be something to sit and pause on for a minute and say, is it worth it? You know, now
yeah, can we really
there's
do
a
this?
Lot of jobs that we've done that it was really hard to work with that leadership team or mm-hmm, that marketing mm-hmm. director or whatever. I mean, that's just part of the job. Like
right.
you just work with difficult people. Like that's just the reality of it. But this guy was just too much.
He was beyond, right. He passed.
So yeah,
he
$300,000 was just not, I was like, we'll get enough. I'll work my ass off.
You'll
if
make
I've
it back.
Work, you know, 40 hours of, you know, like all day. If I don't even have to sleep, if I just have to work, you know, like from and not even take a break, like I will find another.
But I'm also
that I feel can supplement that income.
I'm a believer in karma, and that the universe pays you back for in my mind a decision like that. Sonny, do you have time to stick around?
Yeah.
Okay. Today's guest,
Sonny Bunnell, one of the authors, along with Ashley Hansberger, of Rare Breed, a brand new book. I really, you know, as the host of the Profit Express, this is a must read. A super interesting look at success, doing it on your own terms. Don't go anywhere. When we're back with Sonny, I'll be asking her who's her favorite rebel right here on the Profit Express.